we're back for another episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows, and if you can, please give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do whatever you can to support us here at the Lakers Fast Break, NBA Draft Junkies, or Lakerholics.com. It is truly appreciated. Well, tonight, another close game. I'm sure the NBA is digging that with the Heat and the Celtics, but it looked like the Heat, you know, just with the Heat. They just needed to go ahead and make their free throws, and for the most part, they did. So they were able to escape with a 112-109 victory over the Boston Celtics. And here today to talk to me about what went on with the game is my good friend indeed. You got to check out what he's doing today at NBA Draft Junkies on YouTube, where there are absolutely rows after rows after rows of draft prospect videos, interviews, and so much more. It is the place to go. It's a one-stop shop for everything the NBA draft. Is my good friend indeed. It's Mr. Rafael Barlow. No, we haven't had the best of days, my friend. I know we just don't learn from our mistakes. But we did have a pretty good game at hand tonight, at least.
Yeah, it was a good game. I thought this series would go 7, but we are one game away from an elimination game. So our team being eliminated. But, I mean, I still think this series, even though Miami's up 3-2-1, it's just a couple bang-bang plays here and there where it could be 2-2 or, you know, even 3-1 Miami. So, but it's a good series. It's been entertaining. And a new star is born.
Absolutely. A new hero is born.
A new hero is born. I mean, if you're John Calipari and you're interested in a recruit right now, all you have to do is tell the kid, look, turn on the conference finals. You see Hero, Kentucky. You see Davis, Kentucky. You see Jamal Murray, Kentucky. You see Bam, Kentucky. Come to Kentucky, and he could just walk out the parents' house, and the kid might be sold. I mean, it's a big Kentucky commercial right now.
It is. I mean, a lot of great players are there, but they can all tell you back that they didn't even just begin to scratch the surface of their potential when they were at Kentucky. We really haven't seen any of them shine until they've gotten here into the NBA. I mean, like you said, there's just so many different Kentucky players. You mentioned Devin Booker even?
Well, I was just talking about in the Western in the conference finals.
Oh, okay. I mean, yeah. I mean, just in the
We can go along with Gilgeous Alexander, Booker, and, you know, we can name all those guys. But just in, you know, the last 2 days, you can see playoffs. You have Bam and Tyler today and
Murray.
And then, you know, Davis and Murray yesterday. So, yeah, man, it's a big Kentucky promo video right now.
Want to thank John Shearer for watching us. Thank you so much. Just appreciate the comment that you left. He's been waiting for this. So I'm glad to see that you were able to go ahead and enjoy what we're doing right now here at the Lakers Fast Break. Thank you so much for being on your show as well. You know, I just cannot thank you enough. So I'll give some pub to it later on in the program. But Rafael, I wanted to go ahead and give you some big props out there because you were seeing the trends as it was taking place in the course of this series. I mean, we're still thinking it might go 7, but I mean, just so many different options for the Miami Heat. And I'm showing everybody on Facebook Live the stats and where they laid out at. With Tyler Hero obviously getting the 37 stands out. But when you have three other players, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, and Goran Dragic, all able to score in the 20s as well, it just shows you that they have in Miami such a diverse array of people that can actually just basically score the basketball.
Yeah, I mean, they have a great system. You know, I don't think Spo gets enough credit for having like this creative offensive system. You know, you hear about like the D'Antonis, you hear about, you know, different coaches having a great offense, but this Miami Heat offense is, I mean, there's always somebody moving.
Yeah.
Always. It's just constant ball movement. You know, whether they're getting guys with the dribble handoffs for the shots and they have multiple guys that can make plays for others. And it's weird because Hero and Dragic didn't start for them this season.
No. Remember, he was an addition as far as putting him into the starting lineup during the course of the playoffs.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, man, they've been fooling everybody all year long, and then they waited until the playoffs to unleash the, you know, two of their best four players. And then, it's looking like Miami is a shoe-in for the finals. And, I think a lot of people would like to see a Lakers-Celtics final, but, this is the Lakers' fast break. And most Laker fans have already penciled the Lakers into the playoffs anyway.
Yeah, tell me about it, as we heard the other day.
I just period. I mean, even like some of my Laker friends on Facebook, it's the parade is already set. They're just waiting on the date.
Do we need to go back to the old adage I hit you guys up with on yesterday's program about overconfidence?
I mean, I get it, though. As a Laker fans have never lacked confidence,
yeah,
ever.
That's for sure. Tell me about it.
So as soon as, LeBron and AD hooked up, it was championship or bust. And so, but the storyline would be great. Bron going against, his old team and Riley and Spo and Butler. And so, even though we're not there yet, but, I just think that would be a good storyline.
One thing I want to ask you real quick, and actually John brought this up as well. I saw at the very end, Bam Adebayo holding right around the wrist area, I think it was. It looked like probably one of those injuries that he may or may not be able to shake off, may require x-rays, but it did look like it was something that was very concerning. I saw him heading back towards the huddle on one of the last timeouts that they took in Miami, and it really looked like he was in some kind of discomfort. I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah, I couldn't see the play. Was the play that they replayed, was it with Tatum?
I think so.
Did he grab his arm and twist it, or was it a sneaky, dirty play, or did a jersey get caught in it or something like that?
I don't know.
I couldn't tell from the replay.
I don't know if it was a Kelly Olynyk type play. As we know, last time Miami and Boston tangled up, or actually Miami and Cleveland tangled up, mm-hmm. or actually it was Boston and Cleveland. I'm sorry, Boston and Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Olynyk was on the Celtics. So I don't know if it was that, yanked the guy's arm out, but I do know, there's a lot of holding underneath, especially when the ball goes up and, the rebound is up for grabs. A lot of holding, grabbing takes place, and very well could have been that type of injury. Bam stayed in the game, but still, it mm-hmm. looks like he has a lot of discomfort, and I think they're going to go ahead and probably do some work on it, get some ice on it, obviously try to do what they can to get him ready for game five. But we'll see that, because that could be a problem if he can't go going forward.
Well, I mean, they do have the luxury of being up 3-1. So if he has to miss, when's the next game? Friday?
Yes.
So if he misses Friday's game, then they wouldn't play again until Sunday. So that would give them some days if they don't close out. Depending on how bad it is.
But he is their inside game. He is pretty much that's the only weakness I see with Miami. They're very diverse, but if you don't have Bam, they are really hurting on the inside.
Yeah, that's true. And but I still think they have guys that are bigger than the Celtics guys. So Olynyk can play some. Myers Leonard, he started for them all year.
Yeah. Dust him off. Get him out of that cheerleading mode.
But he gives them another shooter. Like, he doesn't give them the passing and the interior defense or whatever, but he gives them an outside shooter. So I imagine him just kind of running pick and pops. Hopefully it's not serious, but I just want to see if it was from like a little sneaky, dirty play. I'm not accusing Tatum of dirty play, but only when I watched the replay, only thing I could see is if their hands, if they got tangled up or if he twisted his wrist or something like that.
I'd like to see a better angle.
I guess we'll find out. Yeah, we didn't have a good angle.
Yeah, that's
which is weird because they have a million cameras everywhere. So I'm sure somewhere a better angle will come out.
They were able to go ahead and, give you, 15 different angles on Anthony Davis's last shot, so. Yep. Yeah, it's just something that. I just tell you right now, it's going to be very interesting to see exactly where that leads. I'm hoping Bam Adebayo is okay, because you never want to see anyone get hurt on either team, and at least going through the playoffs. I don't want to see anyone get hurt, because then the excuses start to come in and things of that nature. No, I really don't want to see that happen.
Yeah, was it his left wrist?
It looked like it was his left wrist, because he was holding it.
Yeah, I just see a tweet from Ira Winderman, who covers the Heat, and Bam said he just twisted it.
Okay, so it's not as serious. Might just require some minor procedures to it, some ice and things of that nature. But yeah, just glad to see that if it's not that serious, but we'll keep an eye on it. You never know. Wake up the next morning, could hurt a lot more.
Yeah, definitely. You know, from coming from me, who sprained my wrist on my falling off my bike.
Yep,
a few weeks ago. And it feels like it's okay during the day, but when I wake up in the morning, it seems like it's stiff, and I have to, you know, let it get warmed up like I'm an old car or something like that. But like you said, you never know.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmos Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I see the potential for basically like another Netflix kind of paradigm shift, where here comes this other major player. They have a ton of resources. Apple could change the way that entertainment is consumed.
They say it's the only time this year that you'll have stars from each brand battling each other. And we know it's not going to be the case, but they like to say that, and more power to them, I guess.
Well, it's a big first step, bringing all those superheroes together. There were definitely some parts of the movie that I really enjoyed. And then there were some parts that I thought just kind of fell short of expectation.
Part of it has to be something to do with how it's being promoted. And this is a thing where audiences do not agree with critics.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmos Show.
And the PCC Multiverse, every week on Apple Podcasts.
And over a dozen of your favorite streaming and podcasting options. Want to ask you this real quick, though. With the Heat going up 3-1, we've seen this before with the teams that were facing off against, you know, the Denver Nuggets. Complacency, overconfidence. Mm-hmm. Do you see that possibly happening with the Heat?
No. No, not at all. I think that they'll be dialed in. I don't see it happening. Like I said, I think they'll be dialed in. They want to get it over. You know, I don't think there's bad blood between these two teams, but I wouldn't say that they like each other. So I think, yeah, they want to get it over. I mean, Butler's been focused all year. Definitely in the playoffs, you know, not everybody had them as a finals contender or predicted them to be better than Boston, Philly, Milwaukee. And so I think they realize how close they are to proving a lot of people wrong. So no, I don't think they'll let off the gas.
John Shearer compares what happened to Dwayne Wade when he got hurt versus the Suns years ago. And he did miss a lot of time with it. I do remember it now. Yeah, he actually did miss quite a bit of time with it. But if Bam's saying he's good to go, I'm saying possibly just taping it up and then just going right back at it.
Yeah, this is just what he said, I guess, on his post-game interview. It looks like he's just kind of talking about Tyler Hero. He said he's the one that told Pat to draft him. It doesn't seem like he's... like he's heard. So
okay, well, that's good news for the Heat fans out there. But for the Celtics, you're down 3-1. I tell you, my friend, I know you and I have spoken before about this when it comes to Kemba Walker, but it seems like each and every time he's going to be picked on and targeted each and every time. I understand what his contract is, and you have clearly said that out to me when I keep asking you this question, but I'm going to keep asking you, at what point do you just consider taking Kemba Walker out at critical points of time because they are targeting so much on defense?
Well, put him in. Who do you bring in?
I just bring in a little bit more size, whether you bring in one of the Williams, you know, guys, or or whoever. Just, you know, they just are clearly targeting him on defense, and it becomes an issue because they're getting to be, like today, Hero or Dragic, you know, anybody was taking off the dribble. They were taking Walker off the dribble time and time and time again, and they were very successful in doing it.
Yeah, I just don't know who you bring in. I mean, do you bring in Wanamaker, who's bigger, or do you go with a lineup of small?
I would bring in one of the Williams, personally. That's what I would do. I would bring in one of the Williams to go ahead and maybe add some size, so you could go ahead and throw a bigger guard. So that's just me. That's just me.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I just don't know, like, where you get your... I mean, I think Kimba's such a big, important part of their offense. And so I think he's just such a big part of their offense. And so I think you just got to find ways to hide him. Like, for if it were me, if Iguodala's in, I just put Kimba on Iguodala. And if Miami starts trying to run plays for Iguodala, then they're out of their offense because they normally don't run plays for him. Or if Crowder's in, I don't think they're going to start running post plays for Crowder, and Crowder's mostly shooting threes. So I would try to find ways to hide them and maybe even throw in some zone, a little bit of zone. I mean, we've seen teams run some zones in the playoffs. So
yeah,
I just think you got to find ways to hide them. Yeah.
Saw the Lakers do that yesterday, and obviously Miami's done that on more than one occasion, pulled that out in a second half type deal and was successful with it. I agree with you, but they've got to go ahead and hide Kemba Walker a little bit more effectively, or else they are not going to get back into the series, because there are those critical points in the third and fourth quarter where Miami is just targeting and looking out for Walker, and again, he's out there on top on an island, and he's just not able to guard his man.
And honestly, I don't feel like that was the big key to the game today. It was the turnovers. Boston had some terrible turnovers.
Oh, near the end, yeah, I agree. When it was about 2-3 minutes left, they made some critical errors.
Well, even before that, I know Butler had a bunch of steals where it looks like he knew where Miami or he knew where Boston was going with their passes and their plays. But yeah, the turnover margin was Boston had 19, Miami had 8.
There you go, right there.
That's huge.
Do you know what the points off those turnovers were?
I'm not sure the points off turnovers, but 8 turnovers. I mean, Bam led Miami with 3. Brown had 4. Tatum had 6. Smart had 4. Kemba didn't have any turnovers. And so, I mean, I think in a game like today,
19 turnovers is big.
Right, and if you take Kemba out, then you know, he's the one that was taking care of the ball the most.
We'll definitely see what happens here in a couple days when it comes to Miami and Boston. But Boston really needs to go ahead and get a little bit more energy or do what they can to go ahead and make sure they secure the ball a little bit better. I mean, they've got that combo four tandem of Tatum and Brown. See what you can do to make them more a little bit more effective on the floor, because I think they're close. Like you said, there's just a couple bounces either way, and this series, just like the Lakers and Nuggets series, could be a completely different story. But again, it comes down to who's going to be effective with the ball in the crunch time. And I just don't see Boston executing quite as well as Miami when it comes down to it.
Yeah, that's true. I definitely think for the most part they're even, but Boston hasn't done as good of a job executing in the clutch.
Absolutely, indeed. Once again, I'm talking to my good friend Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies. But before we hit you up, my friend, on what's coming up with your show and also a preview of tomorrow's game between the Lakers and the Denver Nuggets in Game 4.
Big game.
Big game
tomorrow.
Very big game. I want to hit you up with this. Billy Donovan just got hired for the Bulls. Good hire, bad hire? I still think, as I said on the show that I just appeared with the great guys there from the Journey with the Jays, I just said that I think that the front office needs to be reevaluated, because I don't think the front office has done a great job of just basically setting up a team for success. But Billy Donovan, I think, will be able to do an okay job, but I'm sure that they need a lot more.
Well, it's a whole new front office. It's not the front office from the past.
They hired the guy. Okay, so they got rid of Foreman and Paxson and all that. Okay.
Yep, they hired the guy from the Nuggets. The guy that was responsible.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, absolutely.
And then Eversley came from Philly, and I think he may be the GM, and the other guy from Denver might be the president of basketball operations. I'm not sure their exact titles, but it's a whole new front office. So, you know, I guess we can't really judge them based off of what has happened in the past. But I like the Donovan hire. It was obvious that this was, you know, it was already prearranged because, you know, the Thunder offered him a contract and he declined it. And I'm guessing in Donovan's thinking is that Chicago has more talent and the Thunder are going to be in a serious rebuild mode. And it doesn't make sense for the Thunder to bring back Gallinari.
No.
And then, you know, Schroeder be a free agent
possibly
next summer.
Chris Paul, if you could try and unload his contract.
Yeah. So for Donovan, it's kind of like, well, you know, do you want to stick around for a long rebuild? And how long will it take for you to, you know, become a playoff team? Because even though they have a lot of picks and they should be able to flip those picks, but the picks that they have are coming from teams that are expected to be good in the future. So it's going to be a lot of like late round picks. That's what I'm assuming.
I'm assuming as well. Plus, they don't have super awesome assets to deal with, but they do have some trade market value with some of the players that they have there. If they want to go ahead and make those moves to try and either move up on the draft board or try and get some pieces that can better fit with their team.
Right. But I think, in my opinion, I think Chicago is the best job available. Like if I had all the teams that are offering me a job to be their head coach, I would take the Chicago job over New Orleans, Philly, maybe even Houston. Just because
you're the second person to tell me that today.
I like their pieces. They just weren't healthy last year. Carter and Markkanen didn't play a lot together. Otto Porter missed probably like 80 or 90% of the season. Kobe White averaged like 26 a game in the second half of the year. Zach LaVine is, you know, he has his flaws, but he's a 24, 25 point per game scorer. And then you have a top 10 pick this year. And so I think that they have some pieces. And it's also the East. I mean, the East is not as competitive as the West. I think if you look at New Orleans, even if they have a very good year next year, are they going to be a playoff team? Because let's say the Lakers are shooing for the playoffs, Denver, the Clippers, Rockets, Utah, Portland. So that's six. Then you got Golden State at seven. And then you figure you're still fighting between Memphis and Phoenix should be better. I think there's another team that I'm missing. In Dallas. So it's going to be tough for New Orleans in the best case scenario to be a playoff team. And then, you know, Philly, I think they're just in salary cap hell. So what offense can you put in that can make those guys mesh? And then you have to hope that they find a trade. But then, like, you know, if you're Elton Brand or whoever they bring in to do some personnel decisions, which player do you decide to get rid of? If you decide to get rid of Embiid, then he's the one that the guys in Philly love, like the city loves him. If you decide to get rid of Simmons, then you got rid of the younger player who was the all-NBA player. I mean, that's a tough decision I wouldn't want to make. So I don't think that Philly job is as good a job as people think it will be because they have too many bigs, the roster's imbalanced, not much room in free agency. And then I don't even know like what assets that they could trade other than Embiid or Simmons. I mean, Tobias, he's making a lot of money, like $35 million. That's a lot of money for a guy that's not going to be an all-star. So then Horford, you gave him $100 million. So I think that roster is going to be tough for a coach to put in an offense.
Plus, their expectations are not that high or can't be that high going into the first year of the Billy Donovan era.
Chicago, yeah. I mean, I just think that I look at their roster, and I think that if they can make the playoffs next year, I think they can be better than Orlando. Orlando was the eighth seed this year. And I think, you know, what teams in the East, you know, you figure Toronto will be back. Philly shouldn't just make the playoffs off of talent alone. Boston will be there. Milwaukee, Brooklyn is supposed to be a lot better. The Pacers should be there. And then after that, you have Orlando made the playoffs. Then I'm forgetting one more team out East. Oh, Miami. So I think that, how can I forget Miami? I think that they could easily pass up Orlando for the AC, and then you just kind of grow from there.
I'll tell you what, I can't agree with you more on that assessment, but yes, they can go ahead and just make some tweaks with the new front office. So I got to go ahead on back on Journey with the Jays and tell them, you know what? They do have a new front office in place. I remember them mentioning it. It just like went right through the radar because it was so quiet, hush hush type deal. But you're right. They do have a new front office in place and they need to go ahead and make the changes necessary. Just some small tweaks here and there. But yes, you've got a lot of youth on that roster. Is it going to perform? Is it going to stay healthy? We'll wait and see. I had picked the team to actually sneak into the playoffs last year, or this season, mm-hmm. I should say. So if they can at least play up to the level that I think you are thinking and I'm thinking that they're capable of doing, I think they can go ahead and sneak into the playoffs next year as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I said I like that job. I mean, they have the fourth pick. So you have a talented roster with the fourth pick. And if you want to package that, then I'm sure you can get, you know, a pretty good asset for that or whatever. So I like their talent, and that would be the job I would take if I had any job. I think with Indiana, they should be solid, but you don't know what the situation is going to be with Oladipo going forward. But they were good without him. They were the fourth seed without him most of this year, so they should be okay. But it just seems like if you're the coach of that team, but Oladipo coming up on a contract year, you have to favor him. Like, you're going to have to try to appease him to keep him. And which, to me, the D'Antoni rumors somewhat make sense, because if you get him in a D'Antoni offense, then he may average 27 and 8 assists. And it's going to be hard for him to leave if he's putting up those type of numbers in that system. So, that's why I wouldn't be too high on that job.
Well, I hear you, though. But I'm just saying right now, when it comes to Chicago and Zach LaVine possibly being on the move for assets, things of that nature, I think I hear Laker Tom somewhere in the background working up a trade. My guess, JaVale McGee, Danny Green, and Kyle Kuzma. Yeah, just throw in there for Zach Green.
He'll keep Kuzma. Exactly. He'll throw in the 20. He'll throw in the first round pick.
Sure, why not? It's not his, assets. There you go. Just go ahead. Yeah. Just send him on out. We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. Hey, Lakers fans! Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than Lakerholics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at Lakerholics.com. But it is a great time always when I talk to Rafael Barlow of the NBA Draft Junkies. Before we head on out, I want to give a big thank you to John Shearer once again from Journey with the Jays, plus also as well Calvin Kontek. Calvin, thank you so much for the great comments about what we were talking about when it concerns the Miami-Boston series. Truly appreciate your insight and your great comments indeed. If you have any questions for us, he is at Barlow500. I am at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter. But before we head on out and Rafael gives you the lowdown on what's going on with NBA Draft Junkies, we got to go ahead and talk, preview the big game tomorrow. It is a crucial game four. I think as what we had talked about on Journey with the Jays was about all the momentum being on the side of the Nuggets. And I can't say I disagree with that assessment.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Denver, and I try to look at it from both perspectives. If I'm Denver, I feel excuse me, I feel confident. I feel like they have the momentum. And I, for Mike Malone, I tell my guys, we are an Anthony Davis missed shot away from being up 2-1. And, you know, if that block doesn't go out of bounds, then, you know, the Lakers don't have that opportunity. So I would be confident. I feel like for the most part, if you take maybe the last 6 quarters, I feel like Denver has been the better team. But if I'm the LA, I feel like, you know, we're still up 2-1. We have arguably, most people will say, the best two players on the floor. And if we can just get one of our guys, whether it's Green or KCP, to, you know, score 15, then it will be good. So I think both teams should be confident, but it's a big game. If it goes 2-2, then I think the momentum is definitely going to swing in Denver's favor.
I agree with you on that, and that's what you were saying earlier on Journey with the Jays. I also think that your assessment on role players, I mean, you cannot let Jeremy Grant and Monte Morris go off like they did. Even with Michael Porter Jr., even on days where he's gone off, I mean, other teams have been able to get away with it because of the defensive prowess he doesn't have as of yet. But when it comes to Monte Morris and Jeremy Grant, who are in there for, you know, in case of Jeremy Grant, to play really the best defense he can on LeBron, because they put him on LeBron quite a bit. I think when you're giving 26 to him and a lot more to Monte Morris, that really hits you hard. It's the role players, the supporting cast. Whoever does better, I think it's going to go ahead and win the upper hand in tomorrow's game.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I mean, I also feel like if you're the Lakers, you want to dare Monte Morris and Grant to beat you. But the problem is you can't dare them to beat you while Jokic and Murray are still getting their numbers. Yeah, so I could see if, you know, you're okay with Grant scoring 26, but Murray only has 17, or he's inefficient. So you can't have those, you know, the two stars getting their points and then the role players gaining confidence. And, you know, the Lakers have to figure out a consistent third score. I mean, I thought playoff Rondo showed up for about 4 or 5 minutes, and he did have an impact. Kuzma didn't have bad numbers, but they're going to need a consistent third guy. And then also, you know, even if they're, you know, they didn't get much help from their role players, they have to rebound a lot better than they did yesterday.
Absolutely. Yeah, they can't kick. They cannot get killed on the boards like that. Absolutely. Could not agree with you
more on that. I mean, 21 feet of center, he got like 4 rebounds. I mean, that's only 4 more than me and you got yesterday. Just 4 more.
SMH. But they get a chance to redeem themselves on Thursday against the Nuggets in Game 5. They're going to hopefully redeem themselves if you're a Lakers fan. But we'll wait and see. And you and I will be back here tomorrow night to cover it all. But before we head on out, my friend, I want you to talk about what's going on with your great site. I know, same day, same things, but mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, you've always got great work coming up at NBA Draft Junkies.
Yeah, I'm on my Laker time, so I got some stuff in the pipeline.
Yep. Got it in the chamber, as you say.
Got it in the chamber. I got to be ahead. I have an interview tomorrow that I put out. It's a guy, he runs a site called tailgatetake.com, and he has some pretty interesting takes, to say the least. When he did part one, he didn't have Onyeka Okongwu, James Wiseman, Obi Toppin, or even Denny Avdia in his top 14. So, you know, he's definitely thinking a little bit different than most. Somebody even reached out to me saying there should be a minimum requirement to have someone on your show. So he came back on to do part two of his big board. And he just, you know, he has some different perspectives. And so, like, I told him that, you know, at this point, none of us are right. We don't know. We can't predict the future.
Exactly.
So you can't really knock him, but I also like respect for the fact that he's thinking outside the box and he's not letting other mock drafts or the majority sway him into thinking, you know, different from what he sees. So he'll be on with with the second part of his mock draft. So I'll probably put that up tomorrow. And then from there, I haven't decided which player that I'm going to do my next profile on, but I'm thinking it's going to be Jalen Smith from Maryland.
There you go. I'm just showing everybody right now on Facebook Live, and you just had part two of your interview with Spencer Weber. Up.
Right. Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, everyone out there, people, come on. You got to go ahead and check out. If you're anywhere near interested in the NBA draft, there is absolutely no better place to go than NBA Draft Junkies. I mean, I'm just scrolling through rows and rows and rows. And no, this is not last year's draft. This is for this year's draft. All these videos right there for you at NBA Draft Junkies on YouTube or NBADraftJunkies.com. I mean, my gosh, you put so many hours into this, my friend. So many tons of hours into it. Please, if you want to see some really good quality stuff, you got to hit up NBA Draft Junkies on YouTube.
Yeah, my goal is I want to do at least 5 videos a week. And if I can do that, then, I probably would have over 150 videos for this draft class. So, I kind of look at it, everybody else that has a draft site, as competition in a sense, like a friendly competition. And so I figure I just got to outwork them.
And that you do, my friend, and that you do. And again, please make sure you stop by NBA Draft Junkies. You will be glad you did. But I tell you what, my friend, it's going to be interesting to see tomorrow. Is Tom's face, Laker Tom's face, going to be happy or angry? We're going to have to wait and see coming up after the game tomorrow. Also, as well, wanted to go ahead and give everybody a shout out. If you can, please check out the Pop Culture Cosmos. The latest episode is up. We're also going to be working on one coming up for Friday. I'm also hopefully securing an interview right now as we speak with the author of the number one sports book right now out on the marketplace, Three Ring Circus. That's Jeff Perlman. So I'm actually trying to go ahead and work on it. We're looking at maybe recording it on Friday, so keep your fingers crossed. He's got a lot of great words to say. So, I mean, that's a... If you've seen the excerpt that's out on ESPN.com, that's some great stuff right there covering the early 2000 three-peat of the Los Angeles Lakers. So Lakers fans, I know, will enjoy that. But I'll tell you what, my friend, there's a lot to look forward to. Again, I truly appreciate your time, everything that you do for us here at the Lakers Fast Break, and the covering the playoffs with me. It's always fascinating. And I know it's been a tough day. I know there were some decisions that went down that... Again, history will tell us what the heck were you doing. But again, I just truly appreciate you being here. I know that, like I said, today was a difficult day, but hopefully, you know, in the end, we will see the error of our ways.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, you can say only time will tell, but at this point...
How many years? How many years, my friend?
Yeah, it's, I have CNN on right now. I mean, I can't hear it, but it looks like, they're protesting right now in Louisville, which, you know, it's expected. So, it's America. That's all I can say. I can't be shocked at anything, so.
And that's the problem, because it doesn't shock either one of us anymore.
Yeah, I mean... at this point, there's not much you can say other than this is the world that we live in. This is the America that we live in. And so 2020 has definitely been a year that we'll never forget for, you know, a variety of reasons. And this just kind of adds on to it.
That it does, my friend. Well, once again, I am glad to have you here. It's been my honor having you again for another edition of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. And I'll tell you what. Looking forward to tomorrow. Hopefully a good time for the Lakers. Hopefully we'll all be happy and smiling. Laker Tom won't be growling. Hopefully not. But we'll find out tomorrow right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.